Welcome to the podcast with Face, Pat, and Tiz.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. With three friends separated by distance connected that you can join in on. As always, I'm your boy, Tiz. And I'm along with...
Hey! All right. It's the other third of the podcast. Your friendly neighborhood, Padawan here. And I'm along with...
Yo. It's wide-eyed, sober-faced this week. What's going on? Be there for something special this week. Hey, so before we get into my topic, how y'all doing?
I'm all right, man. Today was a bad day. The week has not been bad, but today I can talk to y'all a lot about it. But today was rough. But I'm here and I have a good show.
So here we go.
Pat. I'm copacetic. It's been an easy week so far. Pretty much, it's my one day off during the week, so I was running around all day since freaking like 5:30 this morning on pretty much. But I ain't tired yet, and I'm ready to go talk some shit. Season 2, motherfuckers, episode 55. I'll wait for that later.
I really can't complain too much. As I stated last podcast, December ain't never a good time for me. So slowly but surely trying to work through it. Progressively, it's going to get worse for me closer it gets to Christmas. So I'm just trying to put on my happy face and be the best face I can be going forward to try to jump over all obstacles and hurdles and take everything in stride so I don't trip up, fall, and bust my ass. But on to the topic. This week, Face the Screen. We're talking about the top 10 best Christmas movies.
Oh, shit, we got 10 of them.
Where's my Christmas hat?
Okay, my movie got
just to specify. Just to specify what a Christmas movie is. A Christmas movie does not have to be strictly just a holiday movie. A Christmas movie has to be a movie where the setting is Christmas time. That's a Christmas movie. Okay. So, number one, Die Hard. Best Christmas movie I've seen.
Okay. Yes, Die Hard. Yes, motherfucker, yes. Die Hard is a Christmas. Yes. Solid. Y'all heard that. Die Hard.
I rock with that.
Now, first number two, I'm going to bring it back to something classical. I'm going to bring back classical real quick for you. Number two, Home Alone.
I didn't think about that one as a person. Yeah, it's a Christmas movie and a lesson in self-defense.
Yeah, he beat the shit out of him.
Now we're gonna rock your world real quick. We're gonna rock your world. Bad Santa at number three.
Oh my god.
That don't rock my world at all. I love that movie. I think that movie is hilarious.
That movie is hilarious, yo.
That little boy. Oh my fucking god.
Let me tell you. All right.
Chocolate? Can I make you a sandwich?
It's a Christmas movie. It's not a family movie. But you want to know what my stepdad did with the whole family, with my devout Christian mother and my little brother and sister. Well, you know, they're not little. They, you know, younger brother and sister. And me. Play Bad Santa. And you know what scene was going on?
They ain't no fucking one. Her in the ass.
Yes. Yes.
It's a hell of an initiation to that shit, huh? Check this out.
That was the first time I seen it. This is hilarious, but I can't really express how much I'm laughing inside.
Number four, I'm going to take it back classical for you. I'm going to go a little cartoony. I'm not talking about the remake with Jim Carrey. Let's tell the classical Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Mm. Okay. Now that's super solid.
The original Dr. Seuss one.
I don't care how old you are, you can rock with that. Now come on. You got six more of these left? I'm waiting on mine. I need to hear mine.
I'm gonna give you another one. This is one of my personal favorites.
Come on.
A Christmas Story.
Yes! Yes! Yes,
oh,
nigga.
Oh, oh.
Come on, nigga. You came through. You didn't let me down this week, Face. Face, you came through with that one, boy. Ralphie.
You shoot your eye out.
Yo, when that little boy fell the fuck off. Yo, and I remember them suits because we used to have to wear them when we was little. Yo, I remember them fucking snow suits. Them shits was thick as hell. You'd be moving like the Marshmallow Man. I remember them shits. Now,
my next one. I had to slide this one in there. It's an all black cast majority with JB Smoove in this Christmas one. So I had to bring Almost Christmas to the stage, man.
What's that?
JB Smoove, Monique, Danny Glover, Sanaa Lathan, Omar Epps, star-studded cast, Almost Christmas.
I think I've seen that one before. But I'm pretty sure I've seen like every all black Christmas movie.
Now, with this next one, we go back to the hood with this next one. Let's go Friday after next.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yes. I can roll with you then. Yep, that checks the boxes. I remember the first time I saw that movie. I was riding around drinking a 40. And I don't know if you remember, thinking that with David, he looked older than everybody else, but he was all, he was like real swollen shit.
From high school?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Ross.
Yes. I was riding around with him, and we was listening to a fucking Rolling on repeat.
That song.
Just drinking 40s, and then we just pulled up at the movie. It was loud as fuck through that whole movie, front row. Faded. But that shit was so, that movie had me, like, that movie was a whole vibe. Yeah, good pick there. Yeah.
Next one, we're going Last Holiday, starring Queen Latifah and LL Cool J. To me, it was a good movie,
fuck,
man.
No,
this was a good movie.
You lost me.
He won't
me.
Really start acting.
You lost
he,
me.
He was a supporting actor, and he won't see in the movie that much. It was mostly Queen Latifah's starring role. I think he was in all of the movie all of a good 15 minutes. So, I like the movie.
Me porpoise, not focused you lost me.
On this one, I like how they did it, because instead of focusing on him as a star male character, they just played him off to the side and focused on all Queen Latifah and what she was going through and dealing with in the movie. I like the movie. It gives you ups and downs, highs and lows, but it ends off with a real good twist. So I dig it. I dig the movie.
Turn my face screen when he come out.
Is that the one with Common?
I don't know. No, also, Common
was it's the one where she thought she was dying and shit. And she cashed in her own and went to that resort, the ski resort that she always wanted to go to and ball the fuck out. And then at the end, found out she won't die. Spoiler. Now, next one. I don't know if y'all like it, but it's an oldie but a goodie. I'm going to go Bill Murray and Scrooged.
Oh, that's classic. Scrooge. He's still mad about LL.
Now, for number 10, I couldn't really decide. I got a new age one, and I got a true classic movie. The new age one, I'm going to go Best Man Holiday. But the true classic, it's Best Man Holiday. It's the second one. They all got up together, and the football player wife ended up dying, but they all ratted around him and holidays like that. Now, the last one, this was the very first Christmas movie I ever watched, just as a kid. It was black and white. It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Yep, I remember I also had to write a paper about that movie in one of my classes.
I'm going to just keep quiet on that one. I've tried to watch that movie over 30 times and definitely made the first 15 minutes since. So I can't just go in on that.
There's some white people in it, and they going through stuff that white people go through stuff on Christmas.
Well, I can give it to you. Basically, dude was at work. He was talking cash shit, wondering basically what would life be without him, and Christmas be without him and his family if he never was around and shit. Guardian angel or the spirit of Christmas or somebody popped up on his ass, and when he was about to leave work and showed him what life is without his ass, and if he would never exist and shit.
So it's like seemed like real fucking
something like that.
I think I remember. Okay. Angel.
Yeah.
Every sitcom, every series does
It's a Wonderful Life shit. It's a couple BET movies that it just did a spinoff of, not a spinoff, but a redo of that movie just with black characters. Jasmine, I got one of them, like It's a Wonderful Life type shit. She just, I think hers is more closer to the Scrooge version, but Scrooge and It's a Wonderful Life, they cross paths in some type of way. It's a Wonderful Life is about three different ghosts. She's got that one person showing them everything, but still good movies, still good movies. But like I said, that's Faces screen this week, man. Top 10 best holiday movies. Next week, we never know what we're going to talk about. We'll talk about something on the screen.
I got a random mention for you.
I got a suggestion.
Let's go. Topic for you all. Let's go.
All right. But my random mention is Batman Returns. It's Christmas.
I dig it because big ass Christmas tree, big Christmas scene. Always have it all happening in December, snow, ice. But I still like Batman Returns. That movie just won't hit for me. Arnold Schwarzenegger fucked it up for me, I think.
Lord. Oh, that was Batman.
He talking about the second Michael Keaton one.
The second
one. Okay.
Yeah, with Danny DeVito, with Penguin.
Got you. Penguin Catwoman.
Yeah.
Got you. Well, then, yeah, I fuck with that one. So, yeah, put that one in there, too.
Okay. It's not a traditional one, but it's
You good now, yeah.
Traditional only what is what in your tradition. So if that's what you watch, goddamn it, it's traditional. Shit.
Yeah, I can go with
that.
That's how I work with that.
Die Hard is my shit. That's my number one. Die Hard. Best holiday movie ever.
I would never add the other two Batmans, the Batman Forever and Batman Robin in any list. You won't have to worry about that for me.
That doesn't exist. But A Christmas Story is definitely my favorite Christmas. I could watch movies like when they had them watch them shits back to back to back to back. I would be to memorize the commercial order and everything by like, yeah, I love that.
The one scene I avoid in that movie is when the dude was dumb enough to try to lick a light pole in the
car. Oh man,
it just seemed like I know that hurt so bad.
But I wouldn't have done it anyway, so I would never know.
Yep, me too.
I learned that early from an Ice Cube that this shit comes. All right. Let that warm up a little bit. I don't know, man. Cause and effect always help me out with shit like that. I done did some dumb shit, but it won't like I didn't know when I did it. I just was like, could go wrong. But like when I had a dart fight with those darts that you throw into the little target and we were throwing them at each other. And I watched one fly and that bitch got caught him. I was like, oh. And it was like weird because I ain't feel it. So I was like looking around like, the fuck did that shit hit? God damn it, because I'm looking forward to throw it back. And then I kept seeing the blue thing. And I was like, oh shit, that's the dart. I was like, oh fuck, mama. I was like maybe 11. Cause it was the first year I was over and I had just moved going to the middle school. But yeah, that was pretty sick. But I digress. But speaking of stupid, we gotta talk about LL now.
This is the segue he
Now, if y'all been following the show for a while now, y'all know 2000. We also have started the top MC before 2000. So we made the list already. You can go back, and I believe it's episode 54. Made the list. But now we are going to have it bracketed. We have it seated. And we about to get off into this shit. We got the top MC before 2000. It's coming live and direct to you. Everybody gonna see it on the screen. Let's get off into the shizness, man. How do y'all feel about this side of the bracket? Now, this is a two-sided bracket, so there's also a whole nother side. We had that many people's time, which I think is great. I'm definitely feeling that. But this is what we got. Let me take us to the other side here.
See some people. Some people get out of here early. Some of them are gonna be tough. Yeah,
and this the other side. So I'm thinking we gotta do the round one. We're gonna do this just like we did it last time. So for all of y'all that missed the fan for the top MCs after 2000, let me break down the rules here. We have three criteria that determines it. marketability. Meaning it can be sold, you can make money, your stage show makes money, your record sale, you're marketable on a high level. Lyricism, you can put words together in a creative way, more creative than the average, do it at a high enough level where you are better than them. Stage presence, your MC ability, how you perform your songs, how you perform your lyrics in a way to make that. How dope is your stage show? Do you actually stand up there official, or are you actually up there giving a performance? Are you captivating? So with those three criteria, we put together a list of MCs. So we got two sides to it. On the first side, we got Eminem as the number one seed. I did this one. I put Eminem as the number one seed. I'm going to give y'all full disclosure. Basically, because I felt like so many people would vote. I did the same thing with D on the other side of the bracket. He's the top seed over there on this week. But next week when the pod squad gets involved. All right. So we got in the first side of the bracket, we got Rakim versus Ryan Hamm. RZA versus Slick Rick. Ghostface Killah versus LL Cool J. Nas. Now, everything but the number one seeds were in. So I had no idea DMX versus Hamm, but for some reason. All right, on the other side of the bracket, we got Jay-Z over here, so he's already got a bye. First round that we're going to be voting on this evening. Redman, Queen Latifah, KRS-One versus Big Pun, Tupac versus Cameron, Ice Cube versus Method Man, Common versus Mace, Scarface, Snoop Dogg, Big L versus Kool G Rap. And the way the votes work is best two out of three votes moves that person on to the next round. If there is a tie, meaning one person decided it was a draw and two others differing votes, we will send it to a pod squad vote over this week and we automatic round, at which point the open round voting. And I'll explain. But the way we're going to vote, we're going to basically rate them or compare them on each of the three categories. And then based on who's two out of three. Now, there's been some curveballs in there along the way sometimes, so you never really go. And sometimes people start off kind of strong about their person, but then they kind of ramp it up and put their foot down. So you never know where this going to go. But what side of the bracket do y'all want to start off?
We can go with the left side, man.
Okay, we going to the Eminem side. And we got Rakim versus Big Daddy Kane. Anybody want to go first, or should I kick us off?
This is tough.
Ah, man. Okay. Now, this one right here, I didn't expect them, or at least not so fast. So I'm going to start off by saying, if I go to straight lyrics, so let me take it to the probably the one I'm going to get at to rock. I feel like I don't like that standard for his era as far as lyricism. And I feel like he was graded with super dope cadence. His flow's impeccable. But Rakim had the flow, whoop your ass, could go the spiritual, could go to smooth shit, like whatever way you wanted to take a rock to, a precedent with a lot of rock to Rakim. If I go to MCing ability, I'm going to actually get that to be, I feel like Funk Master Flex type shit. I feel like you might have an argument, but when you're talking about a stage show, there's not many people that keep up the flow like that, be as hard as he was, and be dancing and doing splits. And to me, like, he's one of the best stage for Big Daddy Kane. And then I'm gonna take ability. I'm gonna pull an upset, record straight, a lot more, a money maker, a money generator.
So I'm gonna go Kane 2-1. I'm gonna go Kane 2-1 as well. I dropped the lyricism to Rakim. Everything else falls Kane. Kane and more movies than Rakim.
Oh, I need my easy button. That was easy.
For the name, because he got the acting role, but. I don't think Rakim name is gonna get him an active position. So I'm gonna just go as far as notoriety and marketability. That's automatic. Kane, like I said, his name gets him in more rooms than Rakim as far as worldwide and different avenue of revenue streams. Stage performance. I'm gonna see Rakim gonna rock the mic, but Daddy Kane gonna rock the show. I like that.
Man, this is
better one. Still give your vote, man.
This is a hard one because to me, I feel like they're equal to me. But lyricism, I give it to Rakim. Like, I pretty much agree with all of y'all, like, with this in general. And then, here's the thing. This is the age of rap that I grew up with, pretty much. So then I have to, like, all right, this, I'm going to put my personal biases in it, pretty much. So, which one of those rappers do I listen to more on my own personal? and I would say Rakim. So, but here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Who has been out all the way up till now? Currently, that's Big Daddy Kane. I'm going to give it to Kane because he's currently has just showed in the verses that he can still rock a crowd. Big time. But if I was to have to go off my own personal bias, I'd probably go.
Okay. Well, Big Daddy Kane got knocked out in the front yard night. And in the next part of the bracket, we got Lil Wayne versus.
Oh my God. This is what? This is torture.
Let me take this one. Lyrically, I'm going to go Wayne. From the progression of being a preteen to a grown ass man, we've seen his lyrics go from I can rap a whole album with not cursing and it still be a hard street album, so I can give you everything off the top of the dome and it's going to be a worldwide center album as well. Lyricism, I'm going to give it to Wayne. Marketability, that's hard. That's a difficult question when it comes to these two artists. We both know Busta been in it for decades and decades and decades. So has Wayne. Both name rings bells internationally, regardless of where you go, where they go, they're going to be recognized as who they are. Busta Rhymes may not be recognized as much without the hair, but he still be recognized as Busta Rhymes when he opens his mouth and speak. I'm going to do personal preference. I would go Wayne as far as notoriety and marketability. I see his face in more different avenues. It's his name in different avenues, and I see Busta Rhymes. Busta being more 90s, early 2000s. I don't see him that's changed his style so much to make it more prevalent to the newer crowd as picking up the hip-hop music and to be able to cross genres like Wayne has and continue to. Wayne sets precedence and you have Wayne copycats. There have been a few people to attempt to copy Busta, but you don't have the Young Thug who's basically another Wayne to me. You feel me? So, I mean, you have Wayne copycats who made money because of their Wayne copycatting. I'm going to say Wayne and the marketability. Stage presence, stage show. I'm sorry, I got to give it to Busta. You ain't going to get a show from Wayne like you're going to get from Busta. Bus is animated in everything he does. He's animating his videos, animating his clothing lines, animated in his voice, animated in everything. So when you take that live animation and put it on stage, it just draws that natural reaction from the crowd and they just get into the show more. So sad to say, but Bus, you out of here 2-1. Marketability and lyricism go to Wayne.
Wayne on the board. Pat, you want to go up or you want to anchor it?
I don't go up. Okay. All right. I always go to lyricism first, so that's the easiest thing to go to. There is a case to be made in this situation because most general hip hop heads is going to go to Busta first. But if I was to go down to bar for bar punchline, because they're traditionalists, they'll go to Busta first. Plus, those traditionalists always have something against Southern rappers anyway, pretty much. But bar for bar, I've heard a lot more straight up just punchline bars from Wayne, like they just hit you nonstop. Marketability. With that, I feel like both of them are just incredibly marketable, but then you just got to go on to achievements pretty much or whatever. And it's kind of close here. I'm going to skip that. Let's go to stage presence. I'm going to give that to Busta anyway, pretty much. Man, this is a hard. Pause. This is a hard decision here. I'm going to go with my bias because I feel like he's going to get overturned anyway. I'm going to go with Busta. I'm going to go with Busta. Okay.
All right. I'm going to go to Busta. So I'm going to give him that. Lyricism, I'm going to roll of a versatile body of work. Just over life, excellence level, slouch. Definitely getting the marketability. I am going just probably more straight off of not. I would have included in another one. The nigga's a fucking actor. He might have seen High and Learn. So, like, I feel like more apt. Wayne's also. But yeah, man. That's tough. The logic.
Hey, you know what I meant to add to about Busta? And this was the one thing that just made me say, I'm just going to go with Busta. To this day, no one has accepted his challenge for Versus. To this day.
He got a lot of, like, he got one album in it, level event where I can do that album.
That's it.
Like, when you got albums like that, I mean, you got, like, you can play just that album, the rest of your catalog, especially, you know, back then they used to.
I think that was like 21. tracks.
And three of them might be songs. Them songs, E-43. Well, Busta has scored what some are probably going to call an upset. Moving on. DMX versus MC Hammer. That's what I'm going to say. Everything with marketability. One of y'all can.
I got it. I got you. So. Lyricism, hand down, that goes to DMX. But when it comes to marketability and stage performance, it gets a little bit more of a tie. Marketability. Worldwide, DMX has sold 74 million. And I think the last time I checked, MC Hammer was at 50-something million. So not that far off, but still DMX edges them out in the worldwide album sales. The height of their career.
I said, let's go, X.
Yeah, 74 million, yeah. Big numbers. Let's look at the height of their career. At the height of their career, their marketability was, I'll say X's marketability got better the further his career went on, and the further MC Hammer career went on, his marketability went down. Their correlations and their plateaus went total opposites as their career moved on further. Hammer, with just bad business decisions and the shit he was doing. DMX, he was putting himself around the right people, and just that voice and his ability to make money got him in different places. DMX, also an actor. MC Hammer has a series on the cartoon. I credit MC Hammer for giving pop, bringing hip hop to the pop scene. He is the first credit rap artist to be considered pop in that category. So he opened that door for a lot of people to flood in. Stage presence, ain't nobody gonna make you cry like DMX, and they make you get rowdy like DMX. But ain't nobody gonna make you dance like Hammer. He led a Hammer show. Hammer would give his all in the performance. He was known for dancing. He was known for having. Hammer had everybody in the country wearing Hammer pants, Genie pants. In the height of his days, he changed the fashion game with his baggy ass pants, and everybody was doing that side to side silly ass Hammer dance. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna go DMX.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
because he was that he was that lyricism edged MC Hammer out. If MC Hammer would have had better lyrics, it would have been a tougher challenge for him. But he got stage presence. I give stage presence hand down to MC Hammer. Marketability, I say that's a tie. Because of what both people have done is basically even to me what they have achieved. I say, like I said, X did more because his career started to go better the later he went, and he got a little resurgence right before he died. You feel me? He got that extra boost of bringing him out. MC Hammer never had that, even though he's still alive, and he ain't gonna have that. So X gets it for me.
All righty.
Too legit to quit. No, you ain't. Hey, you got your ass up out of here. Now dash your ass up out of here. Go to KFC. Fresh chicken and lettuce.
Somebody else, though. He might have won.
Might have.
Yeah. I would say MC Hammer has a cartoon. I don't care. DMX. All right, next one.
For all you Hammer fans. Next one, hey, RZA versus Slick Rick.
Who versus Slick Rick?
RZA.
Oh shit. Go ahead. Prosper, y'all can hate me, get mad, whatever. I ain't even gonna explain shit. Hands down, I'm gonna go RZA. I'm going for Bobby Digital. I listened to that whole album. I don't know how many times. Thanks to my brother. My brother played that tape back and forth.
Y'all, all right. I'm adjusting, but even his more, and I'm rocking. There's. I ain't have the time. I ain't know what the fuck. Really. Like I know there was that, you know, that their own slang, but you the only one that understand it. I don't give a from the front to it. him and Raekwon, but sometimes a straight Shaolin. Fuck, are you talking about? So I'm gonna get at this list of artist storytelling, right? So I'm gonna roll with the stage. RZA is not the. There's a lot of Wu Tang members that can rock the fuck out of it, but RZA ain't. So I'm gonna get at this in the market. I would give it a Slick Rick. I feel like Slick, I don't know what the records, but I was over the course of their career, more P probably, that would be across more, just like his grandma, Slick Rick, oh, I remember him, like, you know what I'm saying, but anyway, but yeah, man, fine.
Well, up next is a guy that got a Wu-Tang shirt on.
I already know what you're about to go with that.
You can't really, though, because at the same time, I'm also a hip hop head, and Slick Rick is a legend in as far as a hip hop heads go.
That's true.
Storytelling, all of it, you know. But with this list, I'm probably going to go with my all-around bias. So,
lyricism. Boy, you the one with your bias on all of them.
Yep. Lyricism. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to actually.
Yeah, you are. Okay. Yeah, you can. What else you got? Right now, you're stalling.
Say yeah. All right. Stage presence. I'm going to give. Stage presence, I'm giving that to Slick Rick.
Okay.
Or whatever. I'm giving that to Slick Rick.
Yeah, you because, got to say that shit, Pat. I roll with the one-eyed man. You heard me.
He just got a legendary show by himself. By himself, he has a legendary show.
By himself.
Marketing, I'm giving that to RZA because Wu-Tang is a staple. And if it wasn't for the RZA, it wouldn't be a staple. Like, he's a key part.
So you're giving him, like, six.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Cause he's that, also in movies.
Okay. Movie. Okay.
So I got to give it to him.
That's a precedent being set here by Squad Pay.
Slick Rick has awesome story, but I am a Wu head, so I know the crazy shit that they actually talking about. So I tend to understand what the heck RZA says. I will say he says some weird shit from time to time, but... In Reunited, he said, said, with no hands and feet to complete us, like fetus, and we return like Jesus when the whole world needs us. The way he said it like that. Then he said, I crack your skull without penetrating your skin. He just has a way. Sometimes he gets lost, but sometimes that's extra science, 5% or stuff. It gets me. May not get anybody else, but it gets me. So, Wu bias, RZA. I'm picking RZA.
Get your ass up out of here, Slick Rick.
Now the Pod Squad might go for Slick Rick. So,
Slick Rick gone.
Get your ass up out of here, Slick.
Well, I gotta do this for formality.
Get out of here, Slick Rick.
I'm gonna vote for Ghostface Killah.
Against who?
LL Cool J.
Y'all can discuss amongst yourselves.
I'm gonna give LL his just due on lyricism. I believe it's close somewhat, but Ghostface ain't LL, man. He's LL for a reason. Longevity, flow. I don't know how many albums this motherfucker got or how many record sales he got, but lyricism is there. Marketability. He's a fucking movie star and a rapper. He's known just as much for his movies as he is his lyrical prowess and rap. I mean, that's about even. Ghostface is Ghostface. I mean, the names ring a bell because there's no other Ghostface. You can say Ghostface and everybody know you're talking about Killer. They don't think you're talking about the cartoon. So, marketability, I don't know on that one. Kind of tough. They're both known worldwide, but as far as the ability to make money, I believe you can put LL on some other shit that you couldn't put Ghostface on because LL is on with MTV or something with that damn game show. Yeah, well, you got the lip sync battle. You got that shit going on. Countless movies, countless albums.
He would be doing some more weird shit.
Now, stage presence and show. I don't know. I don't know really. I really don't see any Ghostface solo performances. I always see him either with the whole clan or with Raekwon. So. I really don't know what he alone could do and bring as far as what he could do for a crowd. Because most shows that I've seen him in has something to do with either the whole group. So he's either on stage by himself after the whole group's come or at some dynamic like that. LL is, once again, he's been doing it for decades by himself. He can get on stage with people and do it, but he's never been in a group. So he's always had to stand on his own. Ghostface came out with the group and got his notoriety with the group and then branched out more on his own and did a solo thing. Love Wu-Tang to death. Hate to give it to the man, but I think LL will go say.
Well, it's all right. It's all right if you hate to give it to LL, because I'm not going to give it to him and anyway. But let me explain why.
Woo! Party over here.
Let me explain why.
Ding Ghostface, dong, the witch is dead, the witch is dead, the witch is...
Ghostface and LL are like almost the same person, just from different boroughs. Almost. Like, Ghostface can make the same type of songs that LL can make, but they're not going to be poppy, you know? Exactly. Ghostface can give you feels. He'll He'll have you go through everything that he's been through as a childhood. He'll have you reflecting over the things that you went through as a child. Oh, you know, man. He's at least put you through every emotion in his music some type of way. LL Cool J is the prototype for all the corny rap plants that's in here. You know, he was Bow Wow before Bow Wow. This nigga sad. Look at him. That don't make no sense. See, that's the effect that Ghostface has. You ain't gonna get that from no LL Cool J song. No. All he got is Mama Say Knock You Out. That's it. And you put that up against any one of Ghostface Killer's rhymes. That's it. I really don't like Cool J, but I do fuck with his achievements pretty much. Like, okay. Hands down, you're right. He is marketable, or whatever. He just got the award with Jay-Z for the Rock Hall of what is that shit called? The Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Just got that. He keeps getting achievements and stuff like that. But I feel like they just do that because it's because of hip hop politics or whatever. Like, I can't really say, I can say a LL Cool J song, but I can't give you like a rhyme and feel confident in that rhyme, bragging about it with my friends. But I could probably say a Ghostface Killer rhyme and be like, you know what I'm saying? So, I think he just do corny stuff from time to time. So we're gonna give it to Ghostface Killer.
You said LL was the prototype. LL set a precedent for all these rappers coming out rapping to the lady. He was the first one rapping to girls, and then everyone followed suit. Yeah. So set another precedent. I'm gonna give his man his credit. I'm gonna go by the criteria regardless of how much I dislike him personally. I ain't gonna give him the Joe Budden treatment. I'm gonna do a fetish.
I am, because really, I don't want to listen to a nigga serenading me. Go out. You don't want to borrow that. You want to idolize. No, he didn't want to borrow that.
I crush it like a jelly bean.
4-3-2-1. And he swear his rhyme on 4-3-2-1 killed cannabis. And cannabis said, I snatch your crown with your head still attached to it.
Get enough people that vote. I may, but don't just come in here. State your.
I told y'all I'm all biased on this one. LL's a legend, but Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck. Y'all go first. This gonna be tough.
Hey, the poppers, get mad. Get ready to get mad. Hey, I'm a, and I don't even
know. Nas over who?
Notorious.
Big?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Off body work. I don't fuck with Nas. I don't even fuck with Big that much.
I got more. A lot more stage. Yeah.
Next. You done?
I am.
I don't fuck with marijuana. So what? All you up north niggas be mad. I don't give two shits. I'm a South baby. Big Head with two and a half albums. The fuck? How's he the greatest? Fuck. You had a handful of songs. Nas. I just don't fuck with Nas. He got like five songs I like. Just don't fuck with him. So on this one, I'm gonna give it to the person who has more stuff for me to go off of. So I'm gonna go off Nas because his body of work, his amount of stage, his stage performances and stage presence, and the amount of time he's been alive to be marketable. It's not big, so he's not around. But as far as his body of work, his continuous legacy, you know, I don't think he's bringing in the revenue like Nas. And if you are, it's because of how your music is being used. So I would attribute that to Puffy, not Biggie. So I'm going to go Nas. To really don't fuck with neither one of them, but I got to get to somebody. Can't say neither. So Nas.
Yeah, I'm the only, this my claim. I'm the only Nas fan in the pod. I'm the only singular Nas fan. I am in high school, especially because he had a Pharaoh mask up there pretty much. I feel like he has more stories. I can get more feels as far as like emotional rise out of his stories or whatever. And Big, he makes me want to just rap. He just makes me want to just rap punchlines, maybe sell crack and go to the club and spill champagne on bitches. That's what I get from Big. I feel like at the time for Big, the punchlines that he had were like crazy because that no one has ever just said it and recorded it just yet. But I feel like eventually somebody would have probably ended. It's more like his punchlines. I would say more like his cadences and just flow mostly. I'll give it that. But I would say marketing, stage presence, I would give it to Big. Lyricism, I feel like I give it more to Nas, but not just because he has more to go by, but Nas talks about everything. Like, I would say more than Big has. He talks about all kinds of stuff or whatever. So, and I'm just a devout Nas fan, so I give it to Nas. I told you my biases.
Yo, I'm my glad bias, the Pod Squad is
my bias override.
I ain't mad at you.
My biases outvote all logic, man. It's all, this is how my dopamines felt at the time, pretty much.
Fuck both of them niggas.
I don't really got any dopamines for either one of them, tell you the truth.
MC Lighten who?
E-40.
Oh, man, 40-40, man. Sprinkle me, man. Sprinkle me, man. Yeah, we will wobble, man. What did he blow? I'ma say, let's go E-40 with the lyrics, man. I'm gonna go E-40 with the lyrics. He creates his own language, man, and uses it as he wants. And everyone goes with the suit. They follow suit and they understand what the fuck he mean, or they gonna get to understand what he mean. And that's what it is. E-40 lyrically. I'm not saying MC Light is no slouch, but sprinkle me, baby. Marketability. E-40 is in a lot of avenues. But MC Light is in a lot of avenues too. E-40 continues to be in some avenues that I don't think he'll be in. And MC Light pops up some places every now and then too. I think MC Light would be a good actress in certain roles due to her voice and her vocal inflection. But I feel like she doesn't get, I don't know if she goes for acting roles, I don't know, but I feel like she would not get it also because of her voice and her vocal inflection brings her off more masculine and more tough. Stage present, I'm gonna get to E-40, man. I really believe that E-40 can move a crowd better than MC Light. I feel like a lot of more females will move to MC Light, but I also feel like I can release myself type female music. I can do my little female. I don't believe she got that for them. So I believe over there with that get hypey shit, I believe they gonna rock with that. You feel me? So I'm gonna get to E-40.
You say you can't release yourself?
Yeah, that's what they say. They can't do that to her shit. I'm speaking on they behalf. I ain't speaking for myself. I ain't got to be there. So boy, they can't do that to her.
That is
I feel like the more people can get down to E-40 music, especially in the nowadays, like even when he first came out to now, his fan base has grown, but I feel like MC Light fan base is, as far as her music has become, is stagnant. She may have fans from the other things she does, but I feel like E-40, his fan base continues to grow. So I'm gonna get a 40-40, man.
40 water. Pat, you got it?
You can go ahead and get it, man.
All right. I'm gonna go to lyricist. As far as marketing stuff, because I would be 40.
All right. So I'm next. Okay. Be honest with y'all. I respect both of them. For everything that they've done to contribute to hip hop, I have no bias for any of them, but I can't say that I really listen to any of them enough to make an actual opinion. I would say probably more E-40 because he started having prominence when in a lot more as far as the college years and stuff like that. So I'm going to flip a coin. Heads, MC Light, tails, E-40. All right, never mind, because the quarter fell back there or whatever, so I want to just pick E-40.
Oh, hell no.
Let's go 40-40.
What the fuck, yo? That is...
I might need it, quarter.
All right, so half recording, but that also you guys are just arguing. Round has not been set yet. You got an argument, put it down in the comments. Whatever you follow us,
let y'all know this one
voice message. Shout out to
Anchor.fm, baby.
Yeah, but yeah, let us know how you feel about how we so far with this. Trust me, I know y'all gonna have to talk. So talk that shit.
E-40
round two. So talk that to me.
I'm not
looking at my rollies about that time.
Is it time to roll up? Oh no, I know what time.
Pache,
oh yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I know what time it is. Peanut butter jelly. Oh, no.
Maybe Marisa do that crazy ass dance. The peanut butter. Crump.
Brian wicked. With the banana suit.
Crump wicked.
Peanut butter jelly with the baseball bat.
There he go.
Where he at? Alright. So, season 2, episode 55, Good and Fuckery.
Here we go.
That nigga scared the shit out of me when he did that. So, we're gonna start it off with some hometown good here in the 757. Virginia native Pharrell Williams will deliver the keynote address to Norfolk State University 107th commencement exercise, which will honor the December graduates in the class of 2021. Just put it out there. He just released it.
Shout out to
him. Exclusive.
Yep. Now, I'm going to go from one good to another fuckery. Better.com CEO fires 900 employees over Zoom. Better.com CEO Vishal Garg, I think that's how you say his name. His name sounds like a supervillain, tell you the truth. His name, Vishal Garg.
Announced.
Yep. First name, V-I-S-H-A-L. Last name, G-A-R-G. He sounds like a Guardians of the Galaxy villain. But Vishal Garg had the gall to announce.
I see what you did there.
That the mortgage company is laying off about 9% of its workforce on a Zoom webinar Wednesday, abruptly informing the more than 900 employees on the call that they were being terminated just before the holiday. This is the quote he says.
Hold on, 900 people just dropped off on a webinar? I already don't like web text to fire for like get the fuck about it.
This is how they did it though. The way they did it was so he basically said on the call, if you're on this call, you are part of the unlucky group that is being laid off. Garg said on the call, a recording of which was viewed by CNN Business. Your employment here is terminated effective immediately. He then said employees could expect an email from HR detailing the benefits and severance.
Cold-blooded as hell, boy. God damn. That's it.
Like, it's one thing to do that. This companies do this all the time, but on Zoom? that's the equivalent of breaking up with, sending
mass text. Put me out there on Front Street.
That's like texting your wife, I want a divorce, and period. Like, no explanation.
Emailing the divorce papers.
That shit was crazy. Yeah, man. And that's the fuckery. Well, some good coming up is that there's a petition to stop interviewing Will and Jada Pinkett Smith has surpassed 20,000 signatures.
Hell no. Pat, your dream is coming true. You did this, didn't you?
Maybe.
This is a Padawan. He just said this.
Jada and Will, if you want a conversation with Pat, you can come on the podcast and talk to him.
We ain't got no...
I got a green table over here. Well, not this week.
Just roll up green on it.
I'll have a green table later this week.
You won't support no...
On a positive note for the Smith family, Will's new book is doing good. It's a bestseller. It's 87,000 copies in the first week. So,
book selling more than some niggas out.
Yeah, some of his out. Let me stop.
I do want to read that.
Yeah, I actually heard it was actually a good book to read, pretty much. I mean, it's Will Smith, whatever. The only time he's stirred me wrong is in this mess, and it's not even his fault for the mess. So, I'll just leave it at that. But anyway, I don't care. She already got a show. We don't need it.
What is that? What does it come on? What channel is
it? It comes on a Facebook channel.
Oh, hell no.
Interview. Now, like, it's on, I say it. They put it on YouTube.
It's on Thriller TV.
They did shit. It should be. But we'll talk about them later. We'll talk about them later. Next on the list, Drake withdraws from the 2021 Grammy Award nominations.
Yeah, now I saw some.
Well, it looks like Kanye is getting part of his wish, because you know he was telling people they should just go ahead and just drop out of the whole nominations and just give it to him, pretty much. But hey, it looks like he got part of his wish. But Drake has been on in the past couple of years, he's been like basically boycotting the Grammys. Like he won because he got nominated for Hotline Bling, but he put it as a rap song, but he doesn't rap in the song. So he feels that they just put him in there because they didn't know where to put him because he's black. He couldn't figure out why. And then one year, he actually got a Grammy or whatever. And he said that year that 2019 he best rap song for God's Plan.
Okay.
And he had up there he was basically saying that the Grammys is racist the way they do things. He didn't straight up say racist, okay. But he basically said that the way they
basically judge said the same thing Tyler created.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Like the way they judge things and the way they categorize things or whatever,
right,
is an outdated way of doing things, and we need to do something new or whatever. Because
basically, kind of lump every all black music into the same genre, same category. We're not a monolith on our music or our culture or our personality. Drake wants to be put in the correct category so it can be shown that he's beating the motherfucker that's in their category. Like Drake wants to be put in the R&B category because he was singing, so he want to show that he can be R&B. I mean, I understand it from I want to conquer, I want to be the best in everything I do. Don't just put me in this one category. Don't humdrum me. Give us our correct classifications and what we're doing with our music, because you put Eminem in different, you put him in pop, you put him in hip hop as well. You'll do the same thing for another culture. But when it comes to majority of the hip hop artists is trying to cross over or just make other types of music, and they ain't just urban, as they say, which means black, or ain't just hip hop, which they just mean black, put it in the category so we can be seen in this genre, and it can be seen that we're actually making the money like these other people are doing. We actually making the same achievement these other people are doing. We actually beating these other people in their own game with our crime. So, I mean, I can understand it, but at the end of the day, like, are you really gonna make headway? Are you really gonna make any changes with just you doing it?
That's real.
Well, I think it's the point though. If Drake, who is arguably the biggest artist on the planet, pretty much or whatever, says, "Hey, the biggest award platform for music is full of shit," then more people gonna follow suit. Because
I'm gonna still follow the race, because I'm gonna say it ain't shit gonna change. So somebody like Billie Eilish say that shit.
That's true. But
at the same time, shit like that, it ain't gonna change. They're gonna look at Drake like, okay, just another black person. Because I mean, if you're trying to change something because you don't like the classification because you think it's black, look at every other struggle. We struggle by ourselves, shit don't change. You get a little participation in for somebody else, shit starts changing.
And shit. But looking at somebody who don't understand.
Yeah, as long as the BET Awards ain't owned by Viacom, because then we're back in the same situation. I feel like Drake is in the right sensibility by saying this stuff. Just the way he like says certain things, because he was saying more like, if you already won the people and they singing the songs word for word, you already won. If they're singing it in your hometown, you're already winning. You know what I'm saying? It's more like the Grammys are not up to date. They don't know what's going on. They're behind, whatever. Because you'll see that, like,
ain't for us. That's for them. So, I give two shits what the Grammys do, because I don't even watch that bitch. I watch no award shows, because me personally, I don't see the reason they have an award show. You want to highlight somebody getting their achievement for making money and being their talent, but you don't do that for other shit. I mean, if you're going to do this for some shit like that, that's superficial to me. Do it for some shit that people really matter. Give award shows for regular motherfucker job, regular out-of-day job.
Now, I win every award.
in this amount of time. We're going to bring you up here. Hey, coming up to the stage for doing the best work in 8-hour shift, Zach from Minneapolis. Do some shit that like that. I don't hear about Drake and his best song in album. Like,
Zach.
I see on TV. Fuck these celebrities. I mean, just me personally. I mean, hey, take it as you want to. But I don't need to be on TV helping you celebrate your greatness. You already got the money for the shit. Now you want another award plus another bonus on top of that shit? Plus me watching you celebrate getting your shit? I don't give a fuck about you getting your award. Drake didn't come to my high school when I got my motherfucking awards.
You know, the ironic thing about it is the way you feel about him saying that is how I feel Drake feels about the Grammys. That's it, pretty much.
Fuck them goddamn award shows, man.
That's it.
The BET, the MTV, the Oscars, the CMAs, the porn music, the porn award, all them goddamn award shows. Fuck them all. Fuck all them goddamn award shows. That's the one I really don't understand. The porn awards. You got awards for best anal scene. Bitch, come on. Bitch, come on. Hold on. Let me get back on the screen for this shit. Bitch, come on. Best anal. That's our award you can win. And you got a trophy for this shit, best anal. And you put in the same shelf somebody else got with their best rap album of the year. You put both of them on the same shelf. Come on, bitch. Fuck out of these stupid ass superficial awards, man. Awards didn't mean shit after you got out of school. Everything else, you grown. Award yourself. Your award is your money. Your award is your check. Your award is being able to do what you need to do for your fucking family. I don't even know what the fuck you're doing. You're a celebrity. I see you enough. Go somewhere.
And if it's the porn awards, you definitely see him enough.
But
that's how they had their legs up with the hands. This award.
I mean, this is my pretty pain. You feel me? I'm sorry to take away from the good in front of me, but fuck award shows. You feel me? Like, I just don't understand them. Fuck them.
Fuck award shows.
But you can't apologize for that if this is the good and fuckery, because we're always saying it's fuck award shows and talk about fucking award shows. So like, it's all part of the fuckery. This is the part where we can express fuck. But going forward, oh man, some more fuckery is debt collectors can now contact you on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they can. They can only DM you. They can't do it publicly.
But if y'all see a DM,
yeah,
where I don't do social media.
Like you just treat it like robocalls, those forex traders that be trying to give you friend requests, the porn site robots, the prince and princess from Nigeria that's trying to invite you to some table.
All my comments, shit. If I don't know your number, I'm screening your calls. I pick up and say, "Weapon a pizza," if I want to. Shit.
The car warranty.
Yes, I had my phone forwarded and all my calls went right to Pizza Hut in Pittsburgh. If you ever went to Pittsburgh, somebody called looking for face. My bad.
Can I get a pepperoni?
But man, I just wanted to put that out there, man. If you start seeing them, like, yo, people trying to just
this has got
do conversations.
Like, how do you ever end story of keep calling? What is the purpose? Like, you're not to actually. So if I.
I'll explain it to you.
Oh, like, I think Face got it. Right now. I was about to say, I think, well, Face got it.
As a former debt collector myself, I'll explain why we used to do that. The point of the continuous calls is at a certain point, legally, if we don't, they have no precedence on it. You remember? It's like you trying to follow up on something that's yours. And if you know, somebody can actually get away with as far as just for like credit, change my number. If you change your number, then people can contact you and your debt go for 7 years. In some states, you don't owe that debt no. So that's why people are persistent on calling. Some people do third parties and they get somebody else to call you for the company I used to work with. I used to call the other place, my man, call this number for me, man. They'll answer for you, they don't know your number. And once you pick up the phone, we got you. Because once we sell your shit, if we can prove that we called you, you have no claims in none of your property because we've done our due diligence. But if we've never called and on no record it shows we call, legally we're liable for that. So that's why they have to, certain companies have to make those certain calls and for so many weeks. But for some companies, you only get the calls for up to 50 something days after the debt becomes delinquent, and then they may stop calling you all of a sudden. And then you get a phone call from a different company. because that company has already went to their limits to try to do it. Now they done sold your debt to another company. Some places, some cases, we can get to some other conversations with selling your debt. That ain't right either. So, but the reason why I did follow up on so many calls, it's like property management, or say you renting some shit or something like that, is because they come in for their shit after them calls stop, or they gonna sell your shit after them calls stop. They just give you so many calls to try to give you a chance to actually say, well, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. And most bill collectors, as long as you tell them, I'm trying to, or you give them some type of story, put them to put notes in, all they want is something to type in. You feel me? Like, we don't, I never want to call people like that. She got to get on my nerve. I used to see the same number. I'm like, damn, I just called her 2 days ago. Fuck, I don't want to call this motherfucking person. Shit. But got to pick the phone number. Hey, how you doing? And that's just it. It was even more annoying for me when I was a bill collector and bill collectors was calling me. So,
advise you, just talk to
them. Yeah. If people calling you, man, bill collectors calling you, just pick up the phone one time. Just tell them, look, man, I ain't got it right now. They gonna try to offer you to make a payment then. Look, I ain't got it right now. And all honesty, with most bills, as long as you give them at least $5, they'll leave the fuck alone. Set up a payment plan for $5 if y'all want to, man. Take it from face, man. I can tell you how you can pass some bills and shit as a bill collector and as a, just me, because I got bills too, so I get past my own. So as a former debt collector, if I was calling you and I needed your money, if I've offered you an arrangement, the best thing we do is that, yeah, I would like an arrangement, and just talk the arrangement out to get it best suited to you on your basis. Because at no point is the company willing to just like not get no money from you. As long as you're paying something continuously, they're like, all right, you can give a company $2 a month, or I can afford $2 a month. I ain't got no money, I'm broke. Well, can you do 25? No, I can do 2. Okay, sir. Well, we'll be taking the money on this day. Cool. You can afford more, pay a little bit more. But you got to pay something. You can't dodge debt forever. Please believe me. You can. Like I just said, 7 years and you know, but
hey, give me some hope.
7 years, you know, like to successfully dodge all your debt, you have to change a bunch of shit. You'll change your phone number, change your address, because if it's a previous address and you move back to the previous address, please believe me, they will find your information. If your information is any data system, bill collectors can and will find your shit. You'd be surprised. The technology and the shit is at their fingertips to get to you. So they call, they answer, man, I'll give you $2 a month.
I'll add on to this, along with that, is social media. And, you know, those people with the PPP loans that, you know, you're doing your money phones and stuff, they looking at that. If you flossing real hard or taking some trips on your Instagram, they're looking at that. And it's just going to be just like the homie that sees you on a vacation and you owe them money. They're going to hit you up just like that. So just like the hip hop police listening to lyrics, they're hip hop policing with debt, pretty much.
You on the beach and you owe me money, man. Give me this goddamn tip. Give me this tip. Shit.
Exactly. And speaking of hip hop and policing and in general, guess it's time we'll get into the versus part of the good and fuckery, y'all, man. Bone Thugs and Harmony versus 3-6 Mafia.
Okay. Best versus ever. And I said it. This shit had me but throw up the drop. My wife's here.
I was scared for her.
Oh, man.
You said you about to fight somebody because they were playing something. I was like, man, reaction. You seen it yet, Pace? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So, predictions. I'm going to be honest, y'all. I was going with 3-6 anyway. Or whatever. We all know why it's in between us, but for the people that don't know, pretty much 3-6 reigns supreme in our college years here in Virginia, from the 804 to the 75 to the DC. Elbows. I don't know, maybe Roanoke too. Yeah, reigns supreme. Everything.
Yeah. Okay.
This definitely was a good one, man. It's just like, and I would say
what
they had most guests. They had like, I don't know, man. It just felt like it was all around a suspense. Like what you was expecting to happen in the Jeezy and Gucci happened here. Like,
who did y'all have winning?
Me, it was 3-6. I went in 3-6 just because I like 3-6.
Went in
3-6. Went in, came out 3-6. I was just 3-6 all the way.
What about you?
nigga, I'm from NATO, folks. you see me in high school, middle school, I throw them bows. I like to harmonize as well sometimes, but you can't put up boom, 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 boom to 10 o'clock, bro, nigga, 10 o'clock. No, I'd rather tell the people.
If you go on paper, right, if you look at it on the
they started a fight.
We running. When they started the night off, though, 10 o'clock, I was like, oh, we starting off
already.
Whoop a nigga ass. Okay. Like, I knew from the jump before the bottle and the incident.
The fuckery.
I knew starting off. Like, this is where we started. So I'm like, okay, so I know what part of the catalog bringing out now. That means y'all going up from here. Okay. Okay.
Now, mind you, Face could still lean on the Bone Thugs way because Bone Thugs is a smoker, stoner music also.
I ain't gonna lie. But I was like, it was a full night. Like, it was like a team concert. No, it really, no matter who I had when they both were, I rock with like
the fans one.
Yeah, they ain't even had to perform. They could have just played on the album. They already had me, but I definitely think in one, you might not do the same exact topic matter. Soulja Boy might be Bow Wow, might be a girl.
The energy.
You feel me? Like, similar vibe. With Bone Thugs, associate is like, and that juxtaposition makes it bad. You know,
it did feel weird when, like,
I feel like Bone Thugs should have won against Shaka Khan.
You said what?
Bone Thugs should have won against Shaka Khan.
Oh, this guy. But it did feel
folks,
weird.
We had a really good show this, man.
it did feel weird shot. When you getting off that hype.
Fire to the limit through the wall.
Damn. I miss my Uncle George.
She just had a versus, I believe. Now that I think about it, Shaka Khan. But back to the story at hand.
Conflict.
True. But, dang, that threw me so off. But it did feel weird.
Tony
that,
What's the nigga? What's the nigga from?
Tony Sunshine? Oh, God.
Don't I love my desert eagle?
Yeah, we were.
My shot drink out every day. Hey!
But, yeah, it feel weird when you get off the hypeness of, like, ass and titties, and then next thing you know, they start singing, like, Days of Our Lives. Or those.
This is the funniest part, yo.
Days of Our Lives.
After the bottle, how do you come back on stage? Straight into ass and so that was like, mm-hmm. I was like,
okay, thank you.
For some ass and titties now.
Well,
it's just such a
isn't that real life? Isn't that what you want in real life?
You know, they said this was like, this was kind of a mismatch because of the vibes and everything, but they actually got history with each other. Like, it was a point where they were beefing and they had like tension. Or whatever. So this is kind of like I said earlier, like Jeezy and Gucci or whatever, where we have the verses as the new Switzerland for hip hop, where
Busy Bone needs to stay off.
It's what Gangsta Boo said. She said a lot.
Now you had Jeezy and them dissing at homies, and not one person. This nigga is imitating you while you were on stage in a versus battle and threw a bottle. Get off that shit.
I hate to say this, but Busy Bone did some very stereotypical light skin shit that day.
He almost ruined the whole. He almost the best. Now, fuck out of here, man. You look crazy. It's just told a bottle of wine and like jerk.
I'm gonna give Busy props.
Just enough for the city.
This guy. But I will give Busy his props. Like him.
For the city,
him and Crazy, they like both, like they knew their lyrics like clockwork. Like they like when they needed Busy to say his lines or whatever, they just got him. They pressed the button, they went off or whatever. He did what he had to do and then they got him. But going back to that situation, man, like, man. Yeah, he did some stereotypical light skin shit.
The fact that Paul was,
he was the first one in like one of the first like ones.
Paul
said he got that one hit acquittal. That one hit acquittal.
Don't you throw that little motherfucker.
This my strong hand. Grab my strong hand.
Say he got that one hit acquittal. Oh, you know what DJ Paul, like Fat Joe straight up asked him in the recap, like, oh, Paul. I don't know whatever the scientific way of saying it, man. Look, man, you only got one arm and you're the first one punching. Like that's what Fat Joe said. Like DJ Paul said, you know, I understand, but I come from, he comes from logic of when God takes something away from you, and he said he's been known in high. He said in high school they already know I got that one hit or quitter, whatever. And he tested it that night. He tested it that night, man. I will say though. Oh, first of all, I want to say this. Juicy J looked like a straight up like James Bond action figure. It's like action hero.
No, the cool outfits.
DJ Paul looked like a super villain. DJ Paul looked like the Black Boss villain in Fatal Fury. It was like he looked like the stereotypical Black Boss that you see.
Hadouken!
That you see it like Def Jam Vendetta.
I thought that
he's straight up. No, but. That shit was
crazy. Y'all ugly motherfuckers ain't gonna be mocking me while I'm up here doing my thing.
and then Juicy J responded, "What's up, my dick?" And then he threw the mic. Now,
I will say you can't do that.
Anytime, depending on the person, whoever you are, however they were brought up or whatever. Some people may be able to take that and just respond with another witty retort, but in man law,
not in public.
When you invite someone,
that's like what you say. You were mm-hmm. you argue with.
That's Juicy J, man, and I can see Juicy J just saying that without like him thinking too much about it.
Said it in the middle,
and it did, man. It did. Country Black started running in, and
you know, Crunchy ready to catch a body for.
And Gangsta Boo was just talking mash.
Like sliding. Oh, you go do that too. Cash.
Mm-hmm. Too much cash. Too much cash. But all in all, that's I feel like. Verse.
Can we talk about the
guests? Yeah, that's what I'm about to get into. The flow of the guests, how strategically they put the guests together or whatever, like back to back. Like it started off, well, the first surprise guest was Busy Bone. Because nobody indeed. Thought Busy indeed. Bone was going to be there. Like, so he was the first surprise guest. The next one was Lil Flip, Ryder Spinners. Yes,
I wasn't making no Flipper. His raps don't, but like, Kate, oh, yeah. Yeah, Flipper. It got me hyped. No. I was like, okay, like, all right. Making out
the even he like did a little freestyle at the end. I was like, yeah, you know what,
Flip? Yeah, that was hard.
And I was on the T.I. side of Lil Flip and T.I. beef. So, absolutely. But that verse he did that night, it was actually all right. Whatever. So that was Ryder Spinners. The next guest was Lil Easy.
For the love of Monday.
And that had been crazy.
That was the point. It was like boom, then boom. And then you where you gonna go from having Lil Easy and killing that shit?
Mm-hmm. And then it's just the simple fact they're in Cali. So you're in Cali, you're in your hometown, you're the son of Easy E. You're doing your dad's lyrics pretty much with the group that your dad put on. That had to be one of the greatest experiences ever. Yeah. So next, Chamillionaire comes out riding dirty. And he flowed his rhyme perfectly. Like he just laid it down yesterday after doing a major tech deal. He came in on the verses straight from Silicon Valley. And then Crazy Bone came in and killed his. Like, Crazy Bone killed it every single time. Man,
well, Crazy Bone.
I think Lazy Bone was mine. Like, I think. We've been in this round. So they counter. Then they count. And Juicy J come out. When Juicy J come out, he brings the strippers. He brings the bag for the money.
Strippers.
And
Mike Wills, Ripper,
and Lil Wayne comes out.
Now this was because I did not expect to come out.
Nobody,
like I was like, they actually the one moment when I wasn't like jumping head. Around, and I was just, they got this nigga out of the house. Can you imagine how much they had to?
Well, they said, well,
and then he was slick with it, like everybody else was came out adapted to the one.
Now they say Lil Wayne did that. Well, Juicy J, he said in it. That Lil Wayne said that, you know what, if it was anybody else, I wouldn't think about it, but for you, Juice, because they've known each other for a long time, since he was a kid, evidently, he came right on out. So that's pretty big. So he came out, So what do, Bone, to counter that? They bring out Lil Jon. And it went up a notch.
Then I wanted to throw the teeth.
That's it went up a notch. It got ugly.
Like from there, the rest of the, I was
like,
boy, it so was much already shit up almost got notch. Broke. That
already up. What? Yeah. House of Blue. Speaking of Rowdy, next person to pop out, Project Pat. And he came out to Night Talk.
Oh, man. I wish they had
Streets.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God!
I want to say, Project Pat looked mad clean that night, man. Oh, yeah. Like
he got his fix and everything.
He don't look crazy. He looked like.
Seen him on Vlad?
I don't really.
He got some Vlad in a new drop, so I had.
Man, he tall as a big ass. Like he looked clean. Yeah, like he looked like somebody's security guard. I thought it was security.
He ain't got nothing else.
Project Pat, huh?
Project Pat got his
like he don't look overweight or nothing. He look.
We be on some twink. Get found. Stanky.
Like Project Pat when he came out was fat. When this dude looked like he hit the gym.
Big diamond rings on my pinky.
You know what's crazy about 3-6? Their guests bring out guests. So their guest Project Pat
brings out LeChat. I would never guessed that shit was epic because I don't consider that was the whole thing. You know they didn't
That's true. That is true.
I don't know if they know how epic it was, brother. Like
they know they sound like they had more fun. They sounded like the fans when I heard the interview behind it, pretty much. So after this, Bone had to hit him with a nuclear missile and it was Thuggish Ruggish Bone, and they brought out Tasha Williams.
And Tasha, boy, I ain't heard from Tasha since the original. I ain't seen her nothing since the original music video. Back in, what was that, 92, 93?
Mm-hmm.
When she came out, I was like, I got Tasha! They win, because I know it was.
Yeah.
Boy, that was.
Out of nowhere.
Thank you, both of you had, because she makes that song, like, they do their thing on it. But if you took all of their verses and pressed her stuff together, I would listen to that. Crushed that song. She sung the fuck out of that.
Yeah, like, that's one of those songs that you can always remember. Like, that's one of them songs that you'll remember and in, like, in normal conversation, you'll, like, use that as a joke or something. Or something like that. Yeah, that's how common the show that song is.
Bitch is in the house. Bitch is in the house. And Flesh and Tasha. Cleveland, definitely.
All she was doing is singing people's names and saying they were in the house. But
that shit go hard.
That was
God damn, Tasha!
Some
thank you.
These songs.
And she sounded just like a some 20-some-odd years later, 30.
Well, if you ain't saying nothing since then, you should.
This nigga face.
Shit, be real. Okay. It's the Potter's podcast, nigga. We real.
You got a point, man. You got a point.
What other Tasha? Who in the hell else you heard her sing something except it's Thuggish Ruggish Bone? Never.
Again,
her voice better be the exact same.
And what funny is, when they first came out, I thought she was Harmony. I thought they was Bone Thugs and she was Harmony. It was all one. So when they first came out and
makes
I first
sense.
Saw them, yo, I'm sitting at home.
I think I thought of that too.
I'm sitting at home as a 10-year-old kid. Look, damn, man, this gonna be a dope-ass group right here. They got her killing the vocal. These niggas can rap their ass off. The fast rap, it was like them and Dos Effects and not really a lot of people. It was like new and fresh.
It was new.
Then everything else after that ain't have her.
How many
now, my dumb ass heard her say, Tasha, but I just assumed that her, like, thug name was really boy.
Her street name is Harmony.
That, man. You know what I'm saying? It's in them out. Like, streets, you got her coming.
Yeah,
you
boom, thug, and that's
and you mix, see,
like Harmony Grits.
We're talking about
I'm joking. But anyway. next guest. Crunky dead.
Yo, Deuce, I ain't gonna even front, yo.
Yeah, he would dance his ass off.
He was killing that shit. My wife was looking at
it. But I didn't even remember the dude's name until they said it in the chat.
Boy, I was loose. You were, oh man, you was my oldest refuge. My wife was in here looking at me. Because mind you, all she don't hear nothing. All she
for the pod squatters out there, that's also what we saw when we went out with him to the clubs in our college year.
I don't remember that shit. I'll be real. I don't remember a lot of them parties.
He don't remember that because he was smoking. And
I was drinking heavy back then, too.
Drinking.
We was a doing lot. A lot back then.
Wrist crack.
That made nights not that memorable.
I was doing all that shit. Oh, the little one in the crowd.
Oh, the cocaine acro day.
There was a lot going
on. That was the
on,
color man. Of my acro. White.
Yeah, y'all don't get that confused. Won't nobody doing the cocaine.
No, it was just the color of the acro. No,
it was just liquor and weed.
Ain't no sniffers around. There was
a lot of other stuff outside of.
I enjoyed parties and back, getting in even.
Back.
And in these parties, they played 3-6.
A lot of people got their ass scooted across the floor. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, everybody would underestimate all of them. Ain't got no tall. And then next thing you know, you got big football up off their ass.
I bet you won't.
Get
him.
Get your ass off me. Get him. Get the fuck out of here. I remember more fights, and it wasn't because like was trying to try us. They couldn't follow us. And then they would. We're all. I have a very solid.
I bet you won't.
Don't bet me. Fuck it,
no, that was a good bet. That was a good bet. I actually bet it on him one time.
Yo, I thoroughly. It's weird. I don't like this. Like, I used to go if I was.
I know you're Goku.
And the good part is, we always had two
Goku and Vegeta. So
one of us gonna have to call in the cavalry, put some that ass. And the funny part would be for ass, like after fighting the fuck.
And that was her day.
It was a very
that was her
day. Taking that shit, I was always.
It wasn't every day. Just every time they went out, not every day. But
hence why the next person graduate.
Hey, you got it though. What I was going to say, because I know we're going to get late too. But speaking of Era Day, Wiz Khalifa also came out. This nigga in his Maybelline model smile.
I didn't care for the.
No. Wiz Khalifa is Juicy J new nephew, so they came out. But the main people that came out is the next few people I'm talking about. Stay Fly came out, and then Young Buck came out, and 8-Ball and MJG. And I don't give a fuck about Young Buck, but 8-Ball and MJG.
At this point, I'm in here by wilding, still with the headphones on, completely silent to the outside, acting donkey. Oh my.
They both MJG.
Oh my God, nigga. In the morning, when I need her. Oh! It's like that verse right there, the power rising. Come, baby. Oh man, dude, if there was ever,
I've been trying my longest time. Been.
That was all in.
All right, mind you, I don't care about this. I don't care about this song. I really don't even care about this appearance. But just the audacity of having this person come out and perform this was the nail in the coffin to me.
What's that,
but when Terrence freaking Howard came out and he perfectly. I said that all wrong. It's late. It is late.
Perfectly, nigga.
I can't say it wrong.
Add
I can't
that say to it. Your lexicon. Folks.
Perfectly, nigga.
But perfectly just recited the whole song. And I did like out the blue. Like I was not expecting that at all. So I was like, you know, they had the audacity to actually bring this dude out. And he did the song.
My eyes have seen a lot of things in the street.
This verses show every aspect of 3-6 you could possibly get.
Them niggas brought out Lucius Lion.
But
DJ, Mike, DJ.
You know that.
Well, I want to say this though. I want to give props to Lazy Bone, because he perfectly hosted and like segued throughout the whole verses. It seems like if they got hit with something with 3-6, he had like a perfect segue to go to the next one. Even if the song wasn't the song that hit at that moment, he had like that perfect segue to go to it. Like Gangsta Boo came out with Where Them Dollars At, Where Them Dollars At, and then he said something, and next thing you know, we got to get that paper, paper, paper. Like, he really showed his showmanship and the way he keep, like, just kept the show going, pretty much. At the same time when Wishbone would scream out randomly, "Hey, y'all, we just trying to keep the peace. That wasn't us, y'all." He would just be so random. Laugh. He one person. Yeah, you know, exactly. True. Well, another person people don't often think about, but really wanted to get some attention. I wish he would shut up the whole time. Young Buck. Young Buck would not shut up from the time he came out to afterwards. He was just talking like it was his show. Just probably realized that this is the only verses he's ever going to actually achieve or get to. So he just kept saying it over and over and over again. Now, I got to tell you something, Young Buck. You haven't got your street points yet. I'm not the most street gangster person in the world to say that, but according to other street gangster people, whatever, you haven't had your points yet to be doing that bragging, that much bragging on somebody else's show that you're the guest on, and you only got one verse up there? Really? And then you kept talking, and then they brought Lil Flip out to freestyle. Lil Flip out freestyles you because you say some old garbage crap at the end, pretty much. So you did all that talking, and you would think somebody that would do all that talking would at least show out when they give you another chance to shine. Not Young Buck, whatever. So Young Buck, shut up. It wasn't your verse. It wasn't. It really wasn't.
You saying?
Yeah. I got to understand 50 Cent. I kind of understand. At this point, I understand. He just would not shut up at all. They didn't even put his mic on. They didn't even put like a lot of the guest mics on all the way. Like I would say maybe Lazy, Busy Bone, or DJ Paul or Juicy J or whatever. But yeah, even with his mic, but I would say even with his mic off, Young Buck was still talking junk in the background. Like, why? Why? And that was the fucker of the verse. It was obvious because he surely said I can't talk, but he could talk. He could talk all through that dang night. I'm glad they brought him out early. Because he hasn't been included. Yeah, because they excluded.
Like, oh, they like me again.
No, we don't.
The transsexual ain't real.
No, they did. They did. Well, actually, it wasn't
the camera.
It wasn't the transsexual. It was you that chose. 50 Cent. That's what, but nobody. Nah. And that souls end the good and fuckery, y'all. Versus season 2, episode 55.
Fuck, jeez. Man, fuck rap.
End off, course, man. Yeah, man. We got to
no new ones.
Well,
not yet.
Face, tell them about it.
Well, a couple of days ago, I heard about this great one. It's online. It's called rtraceclothing.com. Oh, that's right. That's the store. My bad. rtreclothing.com, man. rtreclothing.com. A-R-T-R-E. Clothing. We'll never spell clothing for you. .com. A-R-T-R-E. Clothing.com. New styles and designs every week. Patty Hendricks coming out this week. Flu Monkey came out a couple of weeks ago. Copy Flu Monkey gear. Copy our trade gear. Copy your partner's merchandise. We got everything from phone cases to hats, hoodies, long sleeves, short sleeves, garment bag. We even got partners podcast pull-ups. Patty Hendricks right there coming out soon. We got socks. We got a little bit of everything for you, man. You want to support? Please go check us out. Promo code Christmas coming up. RTRE1. A-R-T-R-E number one. Promo code right now. Only one I'm giving you. Help us out.
AC83. You know that's the AC83 on, man.
AC83. RTRE clothing. Thank y'all for listening.
On top of that, Cash App, subscription, or membership, you and your special reporter, anchors, follow them. You can also access and do that. Like and share, subscribe, interact with, and pet. If after they finish the podcast,
@TheePodNas. That is the Instagram. See, right there. That's the Instagram. That's the TikTok. That is also the Twitter. And that's also the Facebook. And also on Facebook, we have Tiz, Face, Pat are the partners. On Facebook, if you want to get in contact with us, give us a comment. You have any suggestions or any ideas on topics, or if you want us to react to anything, on our live show. You didn't ask us, but we reacted to anything. This last one, we reacted to a random person's beat, pretty much,
and that went really
that
well.
He produced.
I did not see that coming. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So shout out to Velasca for sending us that beat. I listened to SoundCloud and it was actually pretty dope. So yeah, just like I said, man, at @thepodnas. That's pretty much all our social medias. Hit us up. Let us know what you like, man.
So you with feedback. Let us know that too. It's all good. First round. So holla at us. Interact with the comment. I'm your boy, and I've been.
It's the other third of the partners, your friendly neighborhood Padawan here, and I am along with Dramatic Pause.
You know what's up? It's Soberface. You didn't see me smoke one time this episode. You got a wide-eyed, clear-eyed face.
That I'm smoking that apple. Is the absolute. Y'all have this might not happen. You caught us back in high school. I don't know adult face. So this is amazing. So get it in while you can, fans. This may not last long. Remember this episode, episode 55, season 2. Holler at us. It's your boys. We up out this thing.
I'm about to roll up right there, actually.
Tasha.